did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which came down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Amen. And then the 12 says that the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus saith unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day.
Amen. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I don't know if you heard the what God wants us to do. He said, just receive. Just receive. Because his word is yes and amen. He just wants us to receive. If we receive, we have everything that the word says. There's an enemy that will try to stop us from receiving. But everything that God says in his word, it's ours, y'all. It's ours. It's our inheritance. And this morning he's just saying, just receive. It sounds simple because in Christ it is simple. In our flesh we war, but in our spirit, just receive. Thank you, God. Thank you right now, God. Thank you, God. Thank you for your presence in this place, God. Thank you, God, that you would use every avenue, preaching, teaching, dancing, singing, God, every expression, God, to get your word to us. And God, we are so thankful, God, that you would open up our hearts. And God, you're telling us, just receive. Oh, how you love us, God. Oh, how you love us and want us to have everything that you have promised. God, your promises are yes and amen. And God, we ask this morning, God, that we would open more of our hearts, God, more of our ears, more of our minds, so that, God, we can receive. God, thank you for this glorious day, God. Thank you for every glorious saint that's sitting to the left or to the right of us. God, thank you for our sisters and brothers in Christ, God. Thank you for the family of God. God, we just thank you that you are God and that we know it. And God, for those that do not know it this morning, God, we know that you came to make yourself known. And God, you're telling them, just receive. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Thank you, God. I'm just going to go right into the word this morning. We've been talking about, as kingdom representatives, is aiming. And aiming is precise. You know, when you take a bow and arrow, you're not just taking the bow and arrow and you just got the arrow and you're just going around, because everybody would be ducking, right? But I'm not trying to hit you, okay? I'm trying to aim my arrow at the king, who will be in turn, he will hit you. Do you understand? I'm not trying to hit you this morning, but I'm going to aim my arrow at the king, his word. And when what I mean by hit you, because sometimes that word hit is a negative, okay? But I mean that he's going to come and reveal himself to you. It's going to come to that place where you really need it, okay? And so I'm praying this morning that all since Pastor's been preaching, he has been, hitting us with revelation that just, bam, and we're like, whoa. And we just got finished learning that grace is, I don't hear too many people got it yet. Grace is God. God is grace. Okay? You guys, I want to say grace is God. I want us to get this stuff, because this is not just something in the wind. It's something that if we get it, if we really receive it, then we will be empowered to have victory in our life. Grace is God. Remember Pastor David said, grace is not just some willy-nilly thing, some theory or some thought. It's greater than that. Grace is God. And I like that because when you put it in God's hands, right, then there's power, then there's authority. Then the definition means that we're coming through, and there's a promise in that definition because God is a promise keeper. So this morning, I want us to aim at knowing the great I am. Knowing the great I am. In Exodus 3, 13 through 15, we come across a story. And Moses, Pastor David, referred to it in a couple of his sermons. And Moses has been called to lead the people of Israel out. And Moses is talking to God, and Moses says to God, behold, when I come to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your father has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, and I want y'all to hear this. And God said to Moses, I am who I am and what I am, and I will be what I will be. And he said, you shall say this to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. God said also to Moses, this shall you say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever. And by this name, I am to be remembered to all generations. Bringing it a little clearer in the Message Bible. Then Moses said to God, suppose I go to the people of Israel and tell them, the God of your father sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Now Moses is being sent to the Israelites, but he knew they was going to say, well, what is his name? There's power in the name. People want to know the name. And he says, what is his name? And what do I tell them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. Tell the people of Israel, I am sent me to you. God continued with Moses. This is what you're to say to the Israelites. God, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob sent me to you. This has always been my name, and this is how I always will be known. Now understand this, the Israelites knew him all along. They would say he's the God of Jacob. You know, they knew him, but they wanted to know he's the God of Jacob. But what is his name? That would be like saying that Pastor David is the father of Monica. But what is his name? Okay, if you go to try to cash a check, you can't just put your position like, father, you know, son, you got, what is your name? You got to put your name on it for it to be endorsed, for it to be cashed. There has to be a name on it. And the people wanted to know, yeah, okay, but what is his name? And so he says this, you know, in our mind, we would be just waiting for a name, right? But he says, I am who I am. And what I am, and I will be what I will be. Uh-huh. Tell them I am sent you. Now, when you listen to that, I can imagine Moses go, okay, I'm going to tell them that, all right? I know he wanted to be obedient, but I know in his mind there was kind of like what would be in our minds. Is that a name? What does that mean? And the reason why God used that name, because it does have meaning. I am who I am. In Psalms 9 and 10, it says this, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. In the Amplified, it amplifies that and says, and they who know your name, who have experienced and acquaintance with your mercy, will lean on and confidently put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek, inquire, and
of and for you on the authority of God's word and the right of their necessity. Understanding that when they, nowadays, we don't, a lot of parents, there's still parents that do, but nowadays, there is even some names that they name children. Where in the world did you get that name from? And sometimes it's some famous actor or some, you know, some beauty queen, or but the name is named after a person. But here, so names have meaning, and in the Bible days, names were, you were named after what was prophesied over you, what you were going to be, you know, what was going to come into your life. Names had importance. You just wasn't named, and it's funny, I'm about to say a name, and it's probably going to be somebody's name, so I said, I'm going to say Lushikaki Dapa. So nobody would get upset if I, because I was going a whole other way, I was going to say Jaquita, and I said, she's probably in here today, but we're just going to say another name. So you just threw a name out there on a child, and sometimes a name, some names, my sister's a teacher, and she said sometimes when she's calling roll call, she said, she's like, why would they do that to a child? That some names, you don't know whether the name is a girl name, a boy name. You don't know how many names, because someone, all the whole name is, you think it's the first and the middle and the last, but the first name is all that. And so sometimes it's people are just naming things, babies, because that sounds cute. Or, but in the Bible days, they were naming their children from the attributes that they wanted, the character they wanted on that child, the character they wanted that child to walk in. They were naming them a godly name because they wanted that child to have godly character. And they knew that by a name's important because every time, okay, so my name is Linda, and I didn't know this till later, but I had to grab hold of it because I was very, like, always worried about how I looked and always upset. My dad had to tell me the ugly duckling story and all that stuff because I was always upset about. But I met this lady in my Spanish class, and she goes, Linda, do you know what your name means? And that all these years of me feeling like the ugly duckling, and she said, your name means beautiful. What? And I should say, what? No. But the thing was, is she said, every time somebody calls your name, they are speaking beauty over you. Every time they say that, they're speaking beauty over you. I don't know how far I've come in that journey, but they spoke beauty over me, y'all. Okay? I'm saying in the name, that every time you have a God name and they're speaking, and that's why the Bible says to call those things that aren't as though they are. And sometimes we think, well, that's a lie. I'm saying, oh, you're an awesome man of God. I'm not a man of God yet. No, you're an awesome man of God. You're, because God said to call it out. Call what you want, not call what you think you are. Call what he wants. Not call what you think. There's power in the name. And so in this name, he's telling them more than what, you know, he says, I am who I am, what I am. God wants us to know him. And on top of that, he wants us to make him known. He wants us to know him first, and then he wants us to make him known. We were created to make his praise glorious. He will not be fully known until we meet him face to face. However, in these five words, I am what I am, he is expressing himself. His name describes his full existence, you guys. In this name, I am who I am, it gives the plan, the purpose, the power, the provision, everything about God is in that name. I am who I am. And so when they first hear the name, it doesn't sound like a name, but really it is a name. It's a great name of our God. I am who I am. God in this name is promising us that he would be everything that we need, Everything that he's promised is in this name. And he's promising us through this name that he will not fail us. He will not walk away from us. He will not never let us go. That he's always there. He's always present. I am who I am. You know, I love the part that he says, I am present tense. Present tense is always present tense. I am who I am. So that means back in the Bible days, he was telling Moses, I am who I am. He said it in my mama's day, I am who I am. He said it in my day, I am who I am. He says it in my kids' day, I am who I am. He says it in my little granddaughter's day, I am who I am. And be it that she lives and God doesn't come back and she has children, I am who I am is always present. It's always right now. Sometimes we say, I wish I lived back in the Bible days. No, you're living right now. And the same God that was for Moses, the same God that was for Daniel, the same God that was for Paul and all, that's the same God that's for me. The same God that did miracles for Paul. The same God that has shut the mouth of the enemy. The same God that'll be with you in the fire, with Daniel and him in the fiery furnace. I am with you now. There's fiery furnaces in our life. There's enemy mouths that needs to be shut in our life. And God wants us to know, I am who I am right now. Right now, present. Don't keep reading the Bible as if that's for just them back there. Let's read the Bible that he is our ever-present right now, God, in this moment. If you need healing, I am who I am. If you need deliverance, I am who I am. If you need your mind regulated, I am who I am. He is joy in the midst of sorrow. I am who I am. Right now, you guys, right now. Aren't you glad he's right now? I loved how in her dance she was saying those things that her mother and father, the mothers look for, now we get to see. Because God is constantly revealing himself right now present. Y'all should get very happy about that. Because there's some things that you need. There's some things that you want. And God says, I am who I am. Right now, I am going to work it out for you. Right now, I'm going to fix it. Right now. You got your own story. You got your own testimony. You're writing your own book. Come on. Right now, he is. I am who I am. In the Bible, he talks many times when we're looking at that. In the Old Testament, we hear God says, I am who I am. But we've been talking about a very strong understanding that needs to come over the body of Christ, and many have received it, is that I am the creator. I'm also the savior. And I'm also the spirit that keeps you. I am these three in one. I am God. And a lot of times we acknowledge this, but we don't even get the understanding of the power of that. Three in one, they're all God. We don't get the, what it's saying is that whatever we needed at any point of our history of time, God has been it. When we needed to be created, I am created us. When sin came in and messed up the relationship between us and God and we needed a savior, God became the savior. God became the Savior. I said, God became the Savior. God made himself a body. Come on, that was the only way that he could do what needed to be done. He needed to die. And to die, he needed a body. So he made himself a body so that that body would be a sacrifice for us. And so God came as Jesus into this crazy world, came in as God. We're saying God came. And when I... it blows my mind to think the creator of the whole world made himself into a little bitty baby to get inside a dark womb, to get inside a dark womb, to be squeezed out into this crazy world for you and I, for you and I. I'm talking about God of heaven and earth made himself the great I am. He made himself that little bitty baby. Come on. So because he knew what we needed. There was no other way that we would get salvation. Him staying high and not coming low, we would have never, ever had salvation. But he made himself humble, and he made himself low, and he made himself a body so that that body could die for you and I. Don't that just blow your mind? Don't that just blow your mind that God made himself the king of all the earth? Sometimes I think about, have you ever thought about people play with Legos, with Lego blocks and things, and when I was younger, you know, you just play with these things and make my little town and have my little people, and everything was in there, and it was, but I was always looking down on what I was making, okay? But I always wondered what it would be like if, I had a great imagination, what it would be like if I'm no longer looking down, but now I'm one of those people that I created my little town to be. Now I'm one of those people that, and you know what? And I didn't like that position so well, because I was the creator of it. I wanted to move things around the way that I wanted them to be moved around. I wanted to create my story the way that I, but do you understand this? That God, he did not say, I don't want to be them. I just want to move them around. God didn't want to just move us around. He didn't want little robots and little Lego people. He wanted real people that would love him back, that would choose to love him, that would choose to serve him. And so he came in the form of flesh, and he came down and he experienced what we, how we lived and what we were going through. So to say that, so it would turn around and let us know we don't have a high priest that does not know what we're going through, does not know the infirmities of our flesh. He wanted us to know that he identified with us. He related with us, and he loved us so much, come on, that he didn't stay up high, but he came down low. That blows my mind to think the God of creation would love us that much. But understand this, that in the Old Testament, he's telling them as he's bringing them out, I am who I am. But let's get to the New Testament, and let's see what where he says this. He says in John 6 and 35, we're going to keep reading in the New Testament, I am, I am, I am. He's revealing himself over and over and over to us in the New Testament. Because sometimes we think that's the God of the Old Testament. But this is Jesus in the New Testament. And Jesus is saying, I am. He's calling himself the I am. Because he is. Because he is God. In John 6 and 35, it says, Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never be hungry. And he who clings to and cleaves to and trusts in and relies on me, he will never thirst at any time. Jesus is saying, I am the bread of life. We all need bread in the natural, right? We all get hungry, and we all need bread, which is food to sustain us. But in the spirit, we need food to sustain us too. We need food for strength. We need food to show us the way. And God said, I am the bread of life. Then it says in John 6:35 in the Amplified, it says, I am the bread that gives life. I am the living bread. In John 6:48 in the Message, it says again, I am the bread of life. In John 6:8 and 12, y'all pray for me seeing this morning. It says, God is my eyesight. I am the light of the world. That's what it says. Once more, Jesus addressed the crowd. He said, I am the light of the world. He who sees me will not be walking in the dark, but will have the light. In the Amplified, and what happened, babe?
the page is cut off. So I'm, yeah, okay. So if I'm missing a word, y'all, yell it out, because half of it's gone, okay? So it says this in John 10 and 11, it says this, I am the good shepherd. Now remember this, in the Old Testament, David knew, and what did he say? He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In the New Testament, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. He says, I am the good shepherd. And in that good shepherd, we find that he leads us beside still waters. He restores our soul. It says, yea, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. See, that I am what I am, even in the valley of the shadow of death, I am, because he is with me. The great I am is with me. Carla, the great I am. I don't know how I would have made it through my mom and dad if the great I am had not been with me. But he says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow, and why he can call it a shadow? Oh, come on, you guys, we get to yell out hallelujah this morning, because death is no longer a finality. It's no longer finality anymore. And it's just a shadow. It's the enemy meant for it to be over and done, and that's it. But it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's just a shadow, because God has conquered and took the power away from death and the grave. It's just a shadow. The great I am did that for us this morning. And although it hurts so bad, that missing of that loved one that walked the earth with us, there is this hope, and there is this assurance that one day we will see them again. And what the enemy meant that we would be totally out of the picture, just this frugal way of living. You hear, you die, and no more. God said, no, you hear and you go to sleep and you wake up and you live with me for eternity. That's what comes from the great I am. You're here, you go to sleep. He don't even call it death anymore. He says, you're here, my believers. You're here, you go to sleep. I call your name, you get up, and you live with me forever. Come on, that right there brings so much hope because of the great I am in our life. Jesus also says this in John 8 and 12, that he's the light of the world. Then in John 10 and 7, it says he's the gate. He's where you come in and you go out through Jesus. He is the gate to enter in. He is the gate. In Psalms 23 and 1 again, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. That's what the name I am meant, that whatever we need it, whenever we need it. Now remember this, whatever you need, because somebody says, well, you know what, I can take $1 million right now. And that cute guy I've been looking at all week, I want him to be my. That's not what God's talking about. That's what you want. But God says, I will give you what you need. Because some of the things we want would totally destroy us, right? But God says, you lack nothing that you need. Nothing that will give you victory. Nothing that will give you success in your life. Nothing that will give you strength. You will lack nothing with the great I am. Isn't that something this morning? To know that I lack nothing because I have the great I am in my life. You have the great I am in your life. You lack nothing. You say, but look all around me. There's trouble everywhere. God said, these things I've told you, the great I am never lies. He says, I said, in this world, you will suffer persecution. I said, in this world, you will have trouble. But be of good cheer, because the great I am has overcome this world. And he says, we are no longer citizens of this world. We are citizens of the kingdom of God, who has a king. And everything that he's decreed, it will surely come to pass. And in that decree, it lets us know that he is with us here, and he's with us as he comes back to take us to the kingdom where we will live with him forever. Says, thy will be done. the will of the King, the will of the great I am in every situation. He says, how do I know what the will is? It's just want the will of God. In every situation, you say, Lord, thy will be done. I might want this, but God, thy will be done. Your will be done. Because the great I am knows what's best for all of us. In John 14 and 6, Jesus says to them, I am the way. I am, there we go. I am, here's the great I am. I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Then in Revelation, here we go again. And this, in Revelations 1 and 8, he says this, I am the Alpha and the Omega. What is that, you say? It says the beginning and the end, says the Lord God, says the Lord God. And I want y'all to get some, says the Lord God. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord God. He who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty, the ruler of it all. In the Message Bible, I like how it says that. It says, the Master declares, I'm A to Z. I'm the God who is, the God who was, and the God about to arrive. I'm the sovereign strong. But this part really spoke to me last night. It says, so we find that John is having this vision or this time with the Lord, and he didn't know whether he was in a vision or what, but here's what happened. And he says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as if dead. But he laid his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the ever-living one. I am living in the eternity of the eternities. I died. Who died? Who died? Jesus died. I just want y'all to see how he's showing you who, revealing who he is. He says, I died, but see, I'm alive forevermore. And I possess the keys of death and Hades, the realm of the dead. Write therefore the things you see, what they are, and signify what is to take place thereafter. In the Message Bible, it said, I saw this, and it hit me, because I've read this a lot of times, but it says, I saw this and fainted dead at his feet. His right hand pulled me upright. His voice reassured me. Don't fear. I am first. I am last. I'm alive. Alive. I died, but I came to life, and my life is now forever. See these keys in my hand? They open and lock death's doors. They open and lock hell's gates. Now write down everything you see, things that are and things about to be. God took me back to, I said, and I saw this, and I fainted. What made him faint? What did he see? And I saw him. He was made known fully. And I saw him. You know, in the New Testament, it talks about if they had known that they was killing the Lord of glory. If they had known, if they hadn't really known who they were killing, okay? But they didn't know. But if they had really knew that they was killing more than just a man, come on, that our very lives was in his hands because he was God. If they had known who they were killing, it would have been a whole different situation. But they didn't know who they were killing. And so in this, it says, and I saw this, and I fainted dead at his feet. Can you imagine as he's explaining to him, I was dead. And John is thinking about, that was Jesus. That's our Lord that was walking. That was Jesus. But
Jesus has just told him, I was dead, but he also tells him, I am the God. I am God. All of a sudden, when that revelation hit him, that God Almighty was the one who came and died. God Almighty was the one that got up on that cross in the form. God Almighty, when the revelation of that the King of the universe, the creator of the, because sometimes what we look at is we say, God sent his son. Okay? And when I was a little girl, there was one thing about that that used to kind of get me. Because I would think, Pastor David has all these boys, and that if he wanted something done, you know what I'm saying, that, and we're talking about to die for his family, and he would say, Daniel, go die for the family. In my mind, it was like, I would just think with something, if, as his wife, I would be like, what you gonna have Daniel go die for the family for? He's the baby, he's the son. Do you see what I'm saying? So in my mind, I would always be like, I could accept it because God said it, but I was still like, God doesn't even teach us to do that. So something about this, I need to know more. And I remember my father sitting me down one day, and he goes, Linda, do you understand? Because I would ask that, Daddy, why would he send his son? Why would he put his son on the cross? And he goes, honey, do you know that the son was God? At first, it took me a long time to get this. I said, how could the son be God? and most of us, we can't wrap our minds around because it is God. Because God does the impossible. That seems impossible to us. And God took me, my dad took me to the first John when it says that he came into the world and he put on flesh and how to get into the world, he had to have flesh because he was a spirit. The spirit couldn't give up the ghost. The flesh had to give up the ghost. And so God had to make himself a body. And when he made himself that body, fully God, fully man, he made himself that body, gave that body a name, Jesus. Come on, which interpreted means God with us. All of a sudden, I could feel just what John was feeling when that hit me. I was like, oh my God. I was like so excited that God would give himself. He would make himself a ransom. He would make himself a body to die for me. Y'all not excited about that? He didn't send nobody else. He didn't send nobody else. He made himself a vehicle by which he could come into the earth and die. Jesus and God, one, that the creator of the world would come in the flesh. Somebody's going, ooh, I'm not getting that. That's all right. You just keep on. I promise it will come to you. And when it comes to you, it'll be just like that moment, like, oh, my God. And I feel like right here, when I saw him, saw him means when it was revealed, when revelation, when I really saw him, when my eyes was really open to the fullness of what God has done. When I saw him, I almost fainted. You're God, you're God, you're God. I'm thinking you're just Jesus, but you're God. And you did it for me. And you did it for me. God says he wants to open our eyes because sometimes we hear, I am that I am, and we make him so small. But when he's the God of the universe, the creator of heaven and earth is saying, I am that I am. If he made the world, he can do anything that we need in the world. If he made us, he can do anything that's needed in us. Because he's the creator. God wants us to enlarge him. He wants us to get it. Because the day that we get it, there will become a revelation in our life. I remember one time in my life, I've been running and running and running with pain. And I've told this testimony for probably up until about 12 years old. I would run and try to walk down the block or anything. And I'd have this enormous pain in my side where I could not, I'd have to stop and just pain. My mom and dad took me to the doctor and trying to see what this pain was. And they couldn't figure out what this pain was, but this pain was, I couldn't do any kind of exertion. And I remember my dad told me one day, he said, "Come on, Linda, do you want to be healed?" And I said, "Yes, Dad, you know I want to be healed." And he kind of reminds me of how he asked Peter over and over. Daddy wanted to know, "Are you ready to do what needs to be done? Do you want to be healed?" He said, "Come on, let's go in the room." And he said, "We are going to pray to the healer. We are going to pray to the healer." And Daddy began to tell me of all the times that God had healed him. God, my father walked into the hospital. They were about to do surgery on my mom. And my dad walks into the hospital. He had heard in the spirit that if mom had that surgery, she was going to die, to get her out of the hospital. My mom's in the hospital, in the bed, in the gown, ready for surgery. My dad went into the hospital, and he said to the doctor, "I'm taking her home. I'm taking her home. God has told me to take my wife home." Everybody's thinking that daddy's wrong, and my poor mama, he's going to kill her. And Daddy said, "No, I'm taking her home." He said, "Daisy, put on your clothes. We're going home." First, mom was like, "James, what do you mean?" My mom was believed in the God that my dad bought to us. And he said, "God is telling me you can't have this surgery. You cannot have this surgery." He said, you're going to go home, and God's going to heal you. My mom had bleeding ulcers where she would just puke up blood all the time. And my dad put her clothes on. My mom put her clothes on. They went home. They prayed. And my mom to this day did not go back to that hospital. Whereas in that surgery, they said that she needed a surgery or else she was going to die. God said, "No, I'm going to heal her and she won't die." And so I remember all these stories that my dad would tell me about healing. And so as my dad put me down, we was by the side of the bed, and he goes, "Linda, what do you want? What do you want?" And I said, "Daddy, I want to be out of this pain. I want to be healed. I want to be able to run. I want to be able to not have this pain." And he says, "Then all you got to do is ask the Father." He just said it so simply. And I looked at him, and I could see this confidence on my dad, and the confidence surged up in me. And I said, "God, I just want to be healed. I want this pain to go away. Father, I believe you. I believe you've done it for Daddy. You've done it for Mama. Now do it for me." And do you know what? Until this day, I have not had that pain again. I didn't have to go back to the doctor for any more pain in my side, because God is who he says he is. But what I want you guys to understand is I understand that moment. A revelation came to me that God, you are the healer. And things stop the revelation from happening, because sometimes we're like, "God, do you really want to heal me? Do you really want to heal me?" Sometimes we're thinking to ourselves, "Am I worthy of the healing?" Sometimes we'll just take second best. "That's okay, God. You know, I've been with this. I'll praise you anyway. I'll praise." But God wants to heal you. And when I got that revelation, God wants to heal me, it's not never taking second best. It's not never, I'm going to have diabetes till I see Jesus. No, I'm going to see Jesus, and I'm going to be praying for healing until I see Jesus. I'm going to be healed here or there, but I'm never going to stop calling on the name of Jesus, because he is a healer. God wants you to know that the great I am is with us. Today, I want you to know, as you're sitting here, that there's a bigger revelation that God wants you to get. He wants you to go through the Word of God. He wants you to see every time that he says that he's the great I am, because he is the great I am. He is the great I am. And guess what? The great I am is he was yesterday, he is today present in our life, and he is our soon coming King. Can y'all hear me on that? Hear me on that. He's our soon coming King. I want to end with this. Me and my husband was going down the street, and something hit my spirit. And I thought to myself how grateful I was that God didn't come before I was born. Aren't y'all glad he didn't come? And God, as I'm sitting there, I was like, okay, God, but if I wasn't born, I wouldn't have known anything about it. And he said, that's the point. I loved you so much, I wanted you to know. I didn't want to do heaven without you. You know how sometimes we can be like, it wouldn't even have mattered but it mattered to God. He said, oh, my silly little goose. He said, it matters to me. It matters to me that you make it. It matters to me that you get the promises. It matters to me that everything that I had for you, you get. I was just thinking that God could have came way back in Noah's day before we was even thought of. And we're like, people, we keep saying, come, Lord Jesus. Why haven't you come? Why haven't he come? Maybe he's waiting for your Uncle Joe. Maybe he's waiting for your Aunt Karen. Maybe he's waiting for your sister Julie. Maybe he's waiting. And aren't you glad he's waiting? Aren't you glad he's waiting? Because he waited for you. Because as we was going, I looked at my husband. I got all excited. I get excited about things that sometimes people look at me like, what are you really talking about? But I was looking at my husband. I said, babe, I'm so glad that God waited for me. I'm so glad that he let me come into this world. And he said, yeah, babe, because you had to come to get to. Do y'all get what I'm saying? We had to come to earth to get to heaven. We would never make it to heaven if we didn't come to earth. We would never live eternally with God if we never got, we had to come to earth to get to heaven. Do y'all get that? Those that look at our lives like, okay, it doesn't matter that I'm here. It does matter that you're here. It matters that because God loves you so much that he made sure you got here. So God has a time and a date of coming back. But that time could have been way long ago. And all those people that were born then and you never been thought of or came into the world. But he said, you know what? Even though we walk around and, you know, we say to ourselves, it wouldn't even matter. God said, one day when we stand in glory and we see that what the eyes has not seen nor the ears heard, he said, one day you're going to change that tune. And you're going to say, I'm so glad you included me. I'm so glad you waited for me. I'm so glad you let me be born so that I could experience eternity. He didn't want you to miss it. Please stand up right now in the name of Jesus. The great I am. The great I am. He's in your life, Randy. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. The great I am. He says, whatever you need me to be, I am. You need peace? I am. You need joy? I am. Some of us just don't activate the I am-ness of God. And this morning, I am challenging you. He's in us, not just walking beside us, but the I am is in us. And God wants you to know this very morning that all you have to do is activate I am. Y'all want some superpower up in here? We got the I am-ness of Christ living on the inside. Lord, we just thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that you are the great I am. Father, some of us got the I am part, but we don't got the great I am. God, we equate you to anybody else that says that they're with us, that comes and goes in and out of our life, those that have disappointed us and abandoned us. And God, sometimes we look at you like that, but God, you are the great I am that said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, that I am with you always, even until the end of time. And God, may we grasp that, God. grasp it so that the bigness of you can show up in our life, show up in our circumstances. Show up, God. Show up, God. Because, God, you are the great I am. May the world know that you are the great I am because of who they see you are in our lives. God, we thank you right now. Father, I pray right now as I call my husband up. I pray right now in the name of Jesus as we leave to go to Africa. God, I pray for the great I am to be over this congregation. I pray for the great I am to move freely in and out of your lives. I pray that in every circumstance that you would stand on the power of the great I am. Oh, God, I pray that you would lift up their heads and lift up their hearts, that you would give them warring spirits and fighting spirits. God, in the name of Jesus, to lean on, depend on you, to walk, God, in you, God. Oh, God, the great I am that is here, there, and everywhere. While we're there, you're here, God. You're everywhere, God, because you are the great I am. And God, we thank you in advance. We thank you for the great things that you're doing in us and through us and for us, God. You are the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. You are the great I am. You are God Almighty. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for that word. Amen. As we have to prepare to make our exit quickly, because we have to get to the airport. We do solicit your prayers as we fly out this afternoon. Amen. And do what the Lord has for us to do.
Thank you.
You know, because truly it's all Him. Amen. And we know that the church is in good hands with our elders and reverends and deacons and ministers. Amen. And all is in good hands. Amen. So just continue to pray for us. Amen. And we will be, you know, keeping you up to date. Where we are and what's going on, what's happening, amen, as the Lord leads, a lot on the agenda, amen, but God is able, amen. So right now, I'll turn it over to...
I want to say this before we left, so you guys understand this. When we was in, about 20 years ago, we was in Arizona for a conference. It was the very first time that an African man walked up to Pastor David, and he said, you are going to Africa. I'm saying this because I need, the great I am never lies. He says, you and your wife will be ministering in Africa. That was over 20 years ago. We've had at least 3 different people come and say, you're going to Africa in different times of our lives. I want to say this because if God said it, He's the great I am. He will do it. There was many that promised that they were going to get us to Africa. And I begin to think, God, they've been saying it and saying it and saying it. But something God said to me the other day, he told me about Elizabeth. Remember when Joseph was down in the prison? And he told them, when you go back, remember me.
Yeah.
And the man went back and he remembered, there's a man down there in the prison and he can interpret your dreams. And that called Joseph out and he went... And God told me, I will have somebody that will remember you. All the people that have been in and out your church, there will be somebody that will remember you and that they will bring it to the attention of those that are in Africa. And who would have thought our elder Elizabeth Bush?
Amen.
But God will make a way.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, the great I am does not lie. What you're waiting for, don't stop waiting for it. Don't stop believing for it. Don't stop waiting for it, Diane. Don't stop believing for it. Because the great I am, he's not going to do things that's just ordinary. He's going to do things that's extraordinary. And that looks impossible and looks like it's not going to happen. Just believe it.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. We'll turn you over to...
We love you guys. This is a hug.
Amen. Amen.
Ooh, don't let that happen.